Seattleite Elsa Driflot kind of knew when it was time for her to stop driving. Her eyesight had declined and she was having trouble seeing. So she says it makes sense to give up her keys, but that doesn't mean she liked it.
It was totally miserable, you know, because I lived alone and I had a good car, I loaned my car, and so it was hard.
Driflot still misses the freedom of being able to drive.
There are days when I feel, oh boy, I wish I could just go and do little errands by myself. And that, I think, is the hardest.
In some ways, though, Elise Driflot was lucky because giving up driving was a fairly cut-and-dried decision. That's not the case for many seniors, and that leads to lots of tough conversations. Laura Fraud-Blanar is a graduate student at the University of Washington, and she knows about those tough conversations. Her own grandmother would not give up her keys.
Her car, which used to be rectangular, had so many little dents and bends to it that it was sort of a slightly squishy oval. But still, she refused to stop driving, despite all the little fender benders, and we were all in tenterhooks hoping that she would never have a big crash, when, thankfully, a palm tree was dropped by a hurricane and smashed the car to smithereens. And my father refused to buy her a new car.
Fraud-Blanar is currently studying the link between aging and car crash risks. She told Bill Radke, those tough conversations with your aging relatives about giving up driving are becoming more commonplace.
Currently, older adults are a large population in the United States, and they're only growing. Today, 1 in 10 of every drivers on the road are over age 65. By the year 2024, it's actually going to be 1 in 4. So this is a huge population, and unfortunately, it's also a very risky population. So this is a group that unfortunately is crashing a lot and is growing on our roads. So it becomes increasingly important for us to sort of get ahead of the problem and begin to talk about ways to keep them safe and other road users safe.
And yet we rarely have that conversation. Why is that?
Well, it's a very difficult conversation, and unfortunately, all too frequently, it becomes a situation of passing the buck. Care providers don't want to get a reputation as someone who stops a person from driving. They also don't necessarily have the tools to begin to talk about this. So the buck gets passed to the families. Families oftentimes don't live nearby their older relatives. In addition, it's a difficult conversation to have with your mom and dad, who are your adults, who you respect, about stopping driving. So the buck gets passed to the state. States vary widely in the guidelines they provide in terms of reporting bad drivers or in terms of relicensing drivers. And it's usually not comprehensive or easily understood. So the buck gets passed back to the older driver themselves, who oftentimes are unable to fully assess their driving ability.
And if it's your mom or dad or grandparent, who wants to tell that person, hey, you're declining?
Exactly. It's also important to note that this is the United States, and driving is freedom. It's independence. It's adulthood. Before you can drink, before you can smoke, before you can vote or join the U.S. military, you can drive. That's the first sign of adulthood. The Herbert Hoover election slogan wasn't a chicken in every pot and a subway stop on every single street corner. It was a chicken in every pot and a car in every garage. So in many ways, the ability to drive represents freedom, independence, and adulthood. And to start that conversation about taking those things away is very difficult.
How do we know who should be giving up their keys and when?
That's such a difficult question. And there's no really good answer. One of the best markers are simply little fender benders. A lot of times, much like an earthquake, you see little tremors and they're precursors to a bigger crash. So part of the research that we're trying to do is really provide information to get ahead of the problem and take proactive steps so that the discussion of when to start mitigating driving or ceasing to drive doesn't happen after a horrific car crash, but rather it's a set plan that older adults have been involved in, engaged in, and interacting in about how best to manage crash risk as age increases.
And this is part of your work. You want us to develop guidelines in advance for how the older driver is going to start to give that up. How would these guidelines work?
The goal here is to really get to know, as cognition incrementally declines, using a very easy test that could be done in a clinical setting, 15 to 20 minutes, no real burden to anyone, no specialized equipment, and with the measures and results from that test, have an idea of where you are on the crash risk spectrum. Basically, the idea really is to give care providers and families the tools to populate a lot of these difficult discussions and to develop a plan. And maybe that plan is when X begins to get worse and worse, I'll stop driving at night. I'll maybe only drive to the hair salon or to the grocery store. Or perhaps I'll start using taxis and Ubers and buses, and my neighbor will drive me and I'll cease to drive myself.
It's good to have a plan, Laura, but in reality, plans are hard to stick to, especially when it comes to an older driver giving up that car. How do we stick to a plan like that?
It's absolutely a difficult situation. And just because one has a plan doesn't mean it's not going to have to change wildly based on the individual status, based on other issues that occur. But having a plan and knowing what the older adult's goals are better than moving from crisis to crisis, never having an idea. At least if you have a plan, you know where to start and you have a vague idea of where you're trying to go. And yes, it will probably have to change. It'll probably have to change quite a bit. But the goal is really to give patients and care providers a solid and specific way to talk about this, to be able to say your crash risk is Y because your cognitive health is X. And to be able to use these clinical measures to talk about this in a clear and decisive way. So this is a guideline that will be in the clinical setting.
So bottom line, Laura, how do you want us to think differently about this issue of driving and aging?
The overall goal here is to really come up with a set plan so that as an individual needs to start tapering their driving or ceasing to drive, it's not the end of the world. It's really just the next chapter. The classic saying is, don't worry when you can't find your keys. Worry when you found your keys and you don't know what they're to. So when an individual gets to that point to begin to have specific, clear ideas of how to allow them to continue to preserve their self-sufficiency and prolong their life in the quality that they currently live it for as long as they can.
That's Laura Fraud-Blanar. She's a graduate student at the University of Washington's Department of Health Services. She talked with Bill Radke. How have you talked with your aging relatives about when they should stop driving?
I will always remember the sad process of convincing my father to give up his car keys. He was very resistant to giving up his car keys, furious, in fact, and I don't think he ever forgave me. And many years now after his death, I still have his car key on a little altar for him.
What I did was remove the battery. So when she got her keys and got in the car and realized the car didn't start, she went back in the house and said, oh boy, I better get that car fixed.
My father was having dementia, and I told him, how would you feel if you accidentally made a mistake with your driving and killed a child? I knew my father would feel very bad, and then he gave me the keys. It was very, very easy.
Those are three different approaches to talking with your aging relatives about giving up driving. And if you have a plan or a strategy for talking with your aging relatives about when they should give up their keys, we'd love to hear it. Give us a call at 206-221-3663. That's 206-221-3663.